Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, on Fridays, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, and of course, wherever you are in the world, thank you all for listening. And sit down, chill out, relax wherever you're at, and join me on the couch. Or just kind of lay across from me, you know, like the movies show. You know, they have like the psychoanalytic therapist. There's some poor person laying on a couch. And the therapist is sitting in a chair, kind of behind them almost, taking notes and saying, "How does that make you feel?" I don't do that kind of therapy. But I do ask that question a lot. And how does that make you feel about your life today? We're really talking about something that's going to hopefully get you going and give you some new insight about yourself and how you can change the things you would like to change in your life. Because, you know, that's usually what we talk about here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, is changing our life and things that make us feel better, things that make us feel good about ourselves, find more love, find more success, and whatever that means to you. I mean, some people, you know, in their life, success means more money. Okay, that's cool. Success means more, I don't know, Instagram followers. I don't know. Whatever you define as success in your life, we're going to be talking about that today and how, you know, you can just help yourself along through the power of focus, which is great and helpful. And we're going to talk about learning how to get more of all those things that you'd like. And as you know, I always have really inspirational guests, you know, on the show, because I have great authors and really good speakers, you know, who come and help everybody on the air. Today is no exception. I have a most inspirational guest, and he's going to be talking about a lot of things. So I want you guys to take notes here, all right? Of course, all my shows are available in the replay and download mode here on my webpage at latalkradio.com. Just click on Dr. Michelle on the Couch. And my shows are also available for free on iTunes podcasts. If you miss anything today, you can listen to it as well. So my special guest today is, I see on the line right now, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. How to get yourself focused and inspired to do the things you want to do in life. We're also going to be touching on a subject that a lot of my guests talk about, which is the law of attraction, which, you know, it's been around really a long time. I mean, forever. People think it's new and like, oh my God, this is fabulous. Really, it's been around a very long time. So anyway, we'll talk about that as well. And my special guest today, who is on the line, is David Essel. Hey, David, thank you for coming on the show today.
Michelle, I am so happy to be here. We're going to have a blast.
We are. And you are awesome. Your book is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know what I love is the way that you have notes for journaling in here. Oh, my goodness. That is the best, when people can actually think about the chapters they read and sort of review them. That's the only way we kind of learn and embrace things, right? So,
Michelle, it is almost impossible to start to make any kind of change if you leave it in your brain. Almost impossible.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, and people will read a book, and at the end of it, they'll go, wow, that was great, and I'm going to start doing A, B, C, D, E, and 7 days later, there's nothing done. They'll go to a three-day intensive workshop on personal growth or love or money or whatever.
Right, right.
And they'll say, no, I'm not going to get distracted with writing. I'm going to stay 100% focused on what these speakers are saying, and 7 days later, they're doing the same thing they've always done.
Exactly. That's how it turns out. By the way, guys, I want you to know a little bit about David Essel. He's a number one best-selling author. He's written 10 books. He's a... What? 10 books, David. My goodness.
Yeah.
How do you find time? Anyway, he's a counselor.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Master life coach, international speaker, radio host. And actually, his mission is to positively affect 2 million people or more every day in every area of life, regardless of their current circumstances. And, of course, he's verified through Psychology Today as one of the top counselors and life coaches in the country and a verified relationship expert through themarriage.com. And, of course, we're going to tell you how you can get in touch with David at the end of the show and find out more about his books because they're all really good and motivational. So we thank you so much for being here. And I really enjoyed reading your book. It's a great read. It goes quickly. And I needed to review it again. Because it was so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, really, really is. So, okay, something that really fascinates me that I when I got your book, I went, what? I looked at the cover and it has the words focus, and then it has the law of attraction crossed out, and then you and then you emphasize the words slay your goals. And, of course, you talk about the proven guide to huge success, which is a powerful attitude and profound love. So what's that all about? It's kind of crossing off the law of attraction.
Well, you know, we've been hoodwinked and boondaggled into thinking that whatever you put out into this magical universe via the law of attraction must come back to you,
yes.
That your thoughts become things. So as long as you're thinking healthy thoughts, it must come into your existence. All of that is the basic definition of the law of attraction, and it's pretty much 80% nonsense, Michelle. It's
wow.
So ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's so ludicrous. Like, yeah. So you know, just backing up a little bit, for 27 years I hosted a nationally syndicated radio show with Westwood One, Sirius wow. XM,
yes.
iHeartRadio,
right?
And we had a chance, you know, every week I it was a 6-hour show every Saturday and Sunday, and yeah. every week we would interview, you know, my friend, the late Wayne Dyer,
oh.
Deepak Chopra,
oh.
Susie Orman. I mean,
amazing.
You know, really, yeah, I mean, just awesome, awesome human beings.
Yes.
And over 27 years, not one of them ever said that they attracted a number one best-selling book by their vision board or
oh.
that their affirmations brought to them millions of dollars or the soulmate of their life.
Wow. Yep.
We've never had there, and there wasn't one person, Michelle, that ever said, oh my God, you know, if you just let go
right.
and let God
mm-hmm.
do the work, if you just let go and let the universe, you, and so all of a sudden, now in 1910,
yes.
Wallace Wattles wrote the book, The Science of Getting Rich,
right.
which really was the first book that started to talk about the law of attraction with the words, the law of attraction.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Now, The Secret,
yes.
of course, that became a huge number one bestseller.
Right.
They tapped into Wallace Wattles and to some of his work, and that was one of the foundational pieces that they used for The Secret.
Yeah.
But there's something really interesting. About 4 years ago, I interviewed Dr. Joe Vitale,
right.
who's one of the stars of The Secret.
Yes, he is.
And Dr. Joe, I think, is a rock star. I think he's amazing. he's got some incredible books out there.
Yeah.
But in The Secret, there was this story of his where he was homeless and he thought about becoming a millionaire and checks coming in the mail. And in The Secret, it says that it happened.
Right.
And so I had him on the show and I was teasing him a little bit. And I go, Joe, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
You know, we're with SiriusXM. We have millions of listeners and all of us want to know the same thing. Joe, you got to share.
Yeah,
that magical formula
right.
where that while you were homeless, checks came flying in the mail and you became a millionaire.
Right.
We all want it, you know, and he started laughing and I'm laughing. He goes, well, David, The Secret left out a pretty important part of my story. I said, no kidding, Joe. What a shock. what did they leave out? And he said, well, I was homeless, and I did have a positive mindset. But in the early 90s, when the internet first came out, I was fortunate enough to get a job learning about the internet and internet marketing. And I worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for years.
Yes.
To earn my first $1 million.
Wow. Right.
And he said, the secret left that whole portion of my story out, and they just kept this little part in about me imagining checks, and I became a millionaire.
Wow.
And so, you know, Michelle, that's what really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Is that,
it's a little detail.
And right? That's why we put on the cover of the book, The Law of Attraction, with an X through it, because, again, you know, I've been in this industry 40 years now.
Yeah.
40 freaking years, and I have never in my life experienced a huge turnaround without an amazing amount of work.
Yes, yes.
I've never had anyone that I know.
Yes.
Unless it's a miracle. Now, let's say someone sits down and they say, I want to meet my soulmate, and they order a Domino's pizza, and the guy comes and delivers, and he's a hunk, and they fall in love.
Right.
Well, to me, that's a miracle. That's not the law of attraction.
Right. Right. You know, and maybe good luck or something like that. You know, it's just, hey, it just happened, you know. Sometimes things come into our lives and we go, wait a minute. You know, so no, I hear you. I get it now.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And
I got to tell you a funny story. So when our last number one bestseller, the new one that you mentioned is Focus, Slay Your Goals.
Yep.
And the book we put out before that, which also became a number one bestseller, and this was the start of this massive movement, was it was called Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, But This Book Will.
Yes.
And the subtitle was The Myth of Positive Thinking, The Reality of Success.
Yes.
So my publicist, TJ Torriello, who hooked you and me up.
Yep.
He contacted his friend, Jenny McCarthy, and he said, Jenny, you got to have my client David on your show.
Oh.
And Jenny says to TJ, I love The Law of Attraction and The Secret. And his book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, is saying that The Secret and The Law of Attraction are 20% accurate and 80% false. And I don't know if that's a good match. And TJ goes, trust me, Jenny. You got to have mom. So I go on her show. This is probably 3 years ago when that book came out. And it was the first time on her show. And we hit it off right away energetically.
Oh,
it was just a blast.
She's cool. She's such a cool person.
And then she says to me, David, I am a huge fan of positive thinking and The Secret and The Law of Attraction. And your book says that that's pretty much nonsense. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to sell me. And at the end of 3 minutes, we'll talk. And I said, great. So I explained what I just told you, plus a lot more in 3 minutes. And at the end of it, she said, okay, stop.
Yeah.
And she turns to her microphone and she says to her audience of 3 million people, I am so wrong. I am sorry. I have been telling you about the power of positive thinking and The Secret and the affirmation as if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
David Essel is the new leader of the positive thinking movement.
Oh, that is, isn't that cool? I love it. See, you turned her around in 3 minutes, David.
And Michelle, it was so fun. And then she's had me back on 5 times since then, which is unheard of for Jenny.
So
you know,
nice.
Like she might have Paul McCartney on 5 times in 2 years.
Yes.
Or, you know, some really A-list name. But for her to have me on that many times says that, you know, she really got it and she now changed her whole philosophy.
Yes.
And it's just been a great experience. So now we know we're going up against the behemoths of the personal growth industry.
Sure.
We understand that.
Yes, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
But all change happens when one person is willing to be honest and challenge the status quo.
Right. Well, it's true. I mean, that's how change happens, is, you know, a
that's
contrary
right.
thing. And also, you know, evidence-based as well. So, I mean,
well,
we have a lot of that.
Exactly, Michelle. And we have in all of our books, you know, this isn't just a theory. We give example after example after example to prove the point. Because I don't just take someone's word. If they can't prove their point to be true, I'm whatever.
Yeah.
But we really have gone and brought in the best experts and the best stories. So at the end of the book, someone can't say, oh, David's full of crap. You know, he's just spouting out because he's jealous of the success of The Secret or whatever people think. Mm-mm. He actually has done the work to prove this stuff to be inaccurate.
Right. Exactly. So who are some of those superstars, as I call them? I know, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Come on now. How much better you get? How much better can you get from that, Dave?
Isn't that, you know, okay, so this was, you know, really? 1996, the turning point of my career. From 1980 to 1996, I was one of the guys traveling 40 weeks a year as a motivational speaker, saying, whatever you believe, you can achieve.
Right.
And you put out your positive affirmations, and they must come true. And I'm screaming in Germany and in Italy and everywhere in the all across the U.S., you know. Yeah. People were screaming back, yes. And then in 1996, I get a chance. Our radio show was the only show chosen by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of Transcendental Meditation, to celebrate the 40th anniversary of TM. Now, the Beatles, in around 1960, went through the training with Maharishi. Mm. They all fell in love with TM.
Yes.
And they started promoting the heck out of Transcendental Meditation all over the world.
Yes.
And now it's 40 years later, and he says, we want one radio show in the U.S. He could have had anyone, and we were so blessed. Now, 1988, I went through the intense training for Transcendental Meditation, and I was a huge fan, still use it to this day.
It's great.
But here's the kicker, Michelle, and this is what changed my whole career.
Yeah.
I'm on the show with him, and we're talking about these very esoteric, Maharishi is no longer with us, but he was the deepest human being I ever had interviewed.
I bet,
And he was so filled with joy. Mm. So off of the air, during a commercial break, he says to me, I understand that you're a huge fan of affirmations. Mm. Now, this is 1996, and I said, absolutely. He said, tell me about them. I said, well, they must begin with the words, I am, and they've got to have a ton of emotion behind them. And he said, what's your favorite affirmation that you've been saying for the longest? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, my God, that's so easy. Mm. Here it is. Mm. I am David Essel, a child of God, happy, healthy, and sober today.
Love it.
And he says, is that a reality in the physical world for you? Hmm. And I said, yes. And Michelle, I was lying.
Oh, yeah. So you're kind of, yes, kind of.
Yeah. And so I said, yes, it is. He said, well, then good for you. Your affirmations are working. But he said, anytime you're working with people and someone has an affirmation and they've been saying it for a while and their life hasn't changed, then they're living in delusion.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes.
And I said, absolutely. And I went on because I was in denial. I was a raging alcoholic doing the work I'm doing right now for 25 plus years.
Right, right.
And 3 weeks later, I'm in Orlando, Florida, Michelle, speaking at a conference. I get off stage. There's a line of people asking questions. And at the very end, there's this short little lady. And I get to her. I said, I'm so sorry it's taken me so long to get here.
Yeah.
You know, is there something I can answer for you? She said, listen, I just flew in from Iowa. Mm. I have 20 minutes to interview you, and I got to leave right away. So let's hustle. So as we're walking to get coffee, I said, what magazine are you with? And she said, I'm not. I'm with Maharishi.
Oh, wow.
I said, I just interviewed him 3 weeks ago. She goes, I know. I listened to the interview.
Yeah.
He loves you. We all loved it. But he wanted me to fly here to ask you one question.
Oh, boy.
So we sat down. I said, what's the question? Yeah. And she said, what do you remember from the interview?
Wow.
And I said, that's really weird because when I interviewed Deepak, I can remember the 7 steps to spiritual healing and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I said, but Maharishi, I don't remember anything. She goes, David, you must remember something.
Wow.
I said, okay. The only thing I remember is that he was so filled with joy. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, so let me tell you something you're not going to want to hear today.
Oh, boy.
But it will make sense down the road in the future. Mm-hmm. The only reason you remember Maharishi had so much joy is because you have none.
Oh, that's not good. That's what?
And I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? And she said, we all do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all do the same thing, David. you know, there's six or seven people that have been with Maharishi for 36 years, like
right.
I have.
Yeah.
We'll sit down, we'll listen to him together in a group, we'll walk outside, and we'll go, wow, it was amazing. He talked about X, and someone will go, no, I didn't remember that. He talked about Y.
Wow.
And she said, and all of a sudden we started to realize that whatever we remember from his wisdom is what's missing in our life.
Isn't that something? Wow.
And so I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Right,
you know, I said, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Yes.
I'm in this incredible career. I travel the world as a speaker. I live on the beach. I drive this. You know, I'm defending myself.
Right, exactly. Isn't that
And so then she said, I know that it doesn't make sense right now, but it will at some point. And a number of weeks later, Michelle, on a Tuesday afternoon in 1996 at 2:30, I came out of another four-day binge.
Wow.
And I looked in the mirror and I said, you cannot have joy with any addiction, and your affirmation that you've been saying for 20 years is an absolute lie.
Wow.
And it was in that moment that I realized that the power of positive thinking is so overrated that if you can say an affirmation for 20 plus years and it never is your reality,
right?
What does that tell us?
Right, exactly. Wow, that is amazing.
No.
It's not working. I mean, for you know, it's just not working.
And so then when The Secret and the Law of Attraction came out and they tell people to build a vision board and to say every morning, I am a millionaire.
Right.
I am with my soulmate. Okay. Well, you know, unless it's a miracle, that's an absolute waste of time.
Right, exactly.
You have to get dirty and gritty if you want to be, you know, now listen, if you're going to earn $1 million a year, that's $80,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's very few people in this world that have the gifts, the talent, the determination, and the drive to create $80,000 a month.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's just...
Right?
Right. Exactly.
And so we have all these books saying, you know, imagine yourself living in Bali and you'll get there. Imagine yourself earning $1 million a year. I mean, and I'm sitting there going, this is so wrong. This is the hucksterism. This is the snake oil salesman.
Yeah, that's true. It's really true. Well,
And I'm the biggest fan of positive thinking.
I know.
I love positive thinking. Every day, the first hour of every day is spent in gratitude, journaling, meditation, prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, I work my butt off for 1 hour, and then the key is, what are you going to do after that in the physical world that you'd rather not do, Michelle? If your listeners want to know the secret to success, follow what I just said.
Right.
Spend the first hour every day doing your positive thinking, reading your inspirational books, and then find the hour or 2 hours every day to do the steps you'd rather not do, to lose the weight, make the money, forgive someone, find deep love.
Right.
But you're going to have to work your butt off if the goal is huge.
Right. It may not be comfortable, but it's the only way that you can really do it. And are you saying then, David, that, you know, when we do these morning routines and, you know, do some meditation and, you know, relax, read some inspirational books and that kind of thing, is that sort of preparing our mind like TM in order to take those next steps after we're done with our morning, to say, go for it, do it? Does that sort of keep us still for a bit so we can focus in?
I love what you're saying, Michelle. Yes. So let's look at the power of the thought.
Mm.
So when you wake up and you write about what you're grateful for, you wake up and, you know, you bless the world and bless your family or whatever routines you follow that, or you read a really uplifting book or you read scripture because you love the Bible or the Quran or something that is going to bring you inspiration and joy. There's a release of chemicals in the brain. There's a huge release of endorphins that will lift your spirit and make you feel better momentarily.
Yes.
It doesn't last, right?
It doesn't last.
But let's take advantage of that. Kickstart your day. You know, some people will get up in the morning and drink a glass of lemon juice with salt in it, which some people believe is a way to jumpstart metabolism and thought process.
Yes.
You know, there's all these little, you know, some people wake up and they'll do have chime music in the background
that
will align their chakras, right? It's like there's so many different tools out there.
Yes.
But we say to people the first time in the first part of the day, that should be a way to jumpstart. So that you do go and do what you'd rather not do.
Yes, it does make sense. I agree. Yeah. You know, in science too, of course, when we're in the REM stage, we hopefully can get into the REM stage of sleep enough so we get our rest and our repair in the brain. That we, you know, we've had that downtime. Our brain sort of, the computer in our brain has, you know, rebooted and sorted things out. Maybe not everything, but then we're ready. We get up peacefully and we can sort of go back into, like you said, the gratitude and, you know, just good positive thinking, good thoughts that are real, that we believe. I mean, I think that's the key too, that you were saying, is we need to believe these things that we are really doing.
Well, and let's talk about affirmations. You know, in our book, Focus, Slay Your Goals, we have a totally different approach to affirmations.
And what is
so the affirmations that most of us are taught is to affirm that you have this massive thing, this $1 million salary, this size 6 body, this incredible soulmate relationship. And what we say is, no, absolutely not. And this is why.
Right.
If you're waking up every day like I did and you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I said I am sober and I never was, that's called a lie.
Right. Right.
When you wake up and use an affirmation, I'm a size 6 when you're a size 18. I am earning $1 million a year when you're earning $50,000 a year. You are lying to yourself.
Yes. Yeah. How can you convince yourself, you know, if you kind of know, like you said about you, your own story, when you were talking to the Maharishi, deep down inside, you know that it's not real.
And deep down inside, you know, you're out of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're lying. Mm. And so then this is what happens for all these people following the program. And remember, I used to teach it. So my books now are saying, I am so sorry I misled you. I mean, that I say that in my last book, Focus, Lay Your Goals.
Right.
I'm writing this because I was wrong. I apologize. And now I want to right my wrong.
Wow. That's
I
wonderful.
I used to teach this nonsense. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, God, after 40 years of being in this industry, I thought this is probably a good time to start being humble and honest.
You're so funny. You're hilarious. Hey, you know, it's all a journey, right? We're always learning. So, and you know what I'm saying? It's like there really is something to be said about positive feeling. And like you said, it does, you know, release a lot of chemicals and makes us, it's kind of the feely good thing for a little while. But like also you described, we kind of go back to the normal homeostasis of our brain, and you know, we start going back to the bad habits and stuff. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest today, David Essel. He is a number one best-selling author. He's written 10 books, counselor, master life coach, international speaker, radio host, and he wants to positively affect a lot of millions of people in every part of their life every day. And so we're, you know, really talking about his latest book. It's called Focus. On the cover here, I'm reading it, says Slay Your Goals. I love that. Slay those goals. The proven guide to huge success, a powerful attitude and profound love. And I really enjoy the book because it has no nonsense, but very clearly written steps to how we can achieve what we like in life. What does it mean to be fully focused? I can't focus on that. I don't get it. You know, what does that mean, David?
That's a beautiful question, Michelle. Mm. It's, you know, it's rarely talked about in our society. So let me give you some examples of people. So Usain Bolt, the great sprinter from Jamaica, who has won every freaking race he's been in just about in the Olympics and all over the world.
Yeah.
He talks about something that I think is really crucial. And he said, you know, when he had a goal to become the top sprinter in the world, that he had to let go of other goals until he accomplished that one.
Yes.
There's a story I tell in the book with Evelyn Keeling, my friend Evelyn, about being focused. And she was, now I want your listeners, if they're not driving, to write this number down. Evelyn Keeling was 245 pounds overweight.
Ooh.
What that means is you take your average weight of whatever you're supposed to be for your age and your height, and you add 245 pounds to that. She was absolutely huge. Evelyn is about 5'3", 5'4".
Dear.
And so you put 245 pounds on extra on someone 5 foot three or 5 foot four, and what you have is an extremely obese human being.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you want to hear a story about what does it mean to be focused, Evelyn woke up one day, and I'm a former alcoholic, cocaine addict, and codependent in love relationships. I had three major addictions to overcome.
Wow.
And I've overcome them all and shattered them all.
Mm.
Evelyn had a major addiction to food and to avoiding reality via food. Some mm-hmm. people avoid reality via work, others
sure.
via alcohol, drugs, etc. Her drug of choice was food.
Right.
However, right. she woke up one day and made a decision that she was going to use the principles of focus to shatter her addiction, and she did.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Now, the first number of days she was in the gym, they had to wheel her in a wheelchair because her legs could not support her weight.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So they wheel her into a wheelchair. They stand her up on the treadmill. She does her 3 to 4 minutes of walking. She's exhausted. They put her back in the wheelchair and wear her out. Now, wheel her out. Now, can you imagine the humility it takes?
Oh, my goodness.
When you're that overweight and you're going into a gym?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah.
Right? This is focus.
Yes, it is.
And so then she removed every ounce of crap food from her house. She eliminated all fast food restaurants.
Mm.
Now, the story gets so profound, and this story is available for anyone.
Yes.
Okay, so for your listeners, when you're hearing me talk about Usain Bolt, you know, putting all goals aside to become the number one sprinter in the world, Evelyn Keeling, when she put all other goals aside, of course, we still live. We still have a family. We still work. But there's one major goal that you have to choose to focus on.
Yes.
Evelyn Keeling not only lost the weight in her late 40s, but in her early 50s, walked on stage, and I tell the full story in the book, in Las Vegas in front of 15,000 screaming fans as a 50-plus-year-old bodybuilder.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. And she looks great, by the way.
Oh, God, if you Google Evelyn Keeling
right.
on Facebook or anywhere else, there is a picture. When she walked on stage, on the left-hand side of the stage was this blow-up photo, huge
yes,
photo
yeah.
of her in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
At 245 pounds overweight, and she comes walking from the opposite part of the stage as this 50-plus bodybuilder, and the crowd went freaking bananas,
oh,
Michelle.
Oh, I bet. That's amazing.
Right. Now,
yeah.
Now, listen to this. For everyone who's overweight or obese, which is 70% of the U.S. population, only 6% of people who struggle with weight have any genetic condition related to weight gain.
Darn. I always wanted to use that as an excuse, David. Darn.
I know.
Come on.
So
don't tell me.
When we get focused, we say there is no genetic reason for this. And people go, but David, my mom and dad are overweight. And I'll say, exactly. Your mom and dad didn't know how to deal with emotions, and they use food as an escape.
Right. Right. That's, gosh. Well, we
just like all addictions.
Can't blame it on the genes now, can
yeah.
we? Well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's true. And you are an expert because you have overcome, like you said, so many addictions in your life. And you did this utilizing the tools that you talk about in your book. That's how you did it.
It's the most beautiful thing that I can tell people. You know, I just got off, I had a session before you with one of the things that we specialize in amongst many is the world of codependency and relationships.
Yeah,
and
huge.
It's the largest addiction in the world by far.
Yeah.
People want more information on it. They can visit our website. It's simple, easy to remember, talkdavid.com.
Yes.
But I just got off the phone with a session with this woman. And when she got divorced, and then it was a few months later, she got involved with a very unhealthy partner.
Right.
But she hasn't been able to pull herself away.
Yep.
You know, it's like, It's better to have someone with me than no one. It's better
yes.
to have someone to go out to a movie on Friday night, even though they're a serial killer, than no one. Seriously. I mean,
right.
that's how we react to life.
I hear you.
You know, and so we'll stay in horrendous relationships just so we don't have to be alone. And
yes.
that's the addiction of codependency.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's
right?
huge. I see it all the time in my practice. You know, and the word's thrown around a lot, but I mean, that's what it is. You nailed it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Michelle, and when So 1997, the late 90s were huge for me with recovery from all my freaking addictions. And and it started with Maharishi when I learned that the power of the mind is not that powerful and that I'm going to have to work my butt off, but I'm going to have to get focused. So in 1997, there was another counselor that was a friend of mine. And I said to her, hey, I go, you know, would you mind exchanging bartering sessions? I'll help you with your issues and you help me with mine. And she said, great.
Yes.
So we anticipated doing 6 weeks, 8 weeks together.
Yep.
So I went in for relationship challenges. So on the fourth week, Michelle, this woman to death.
Yeah.
She looks at me and she said, you're going to be here for 52 straight weeks.
What?
And I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? We're going to do like 8 weeks together. She goes, I'm really sorry, David, but here's the reality.
Yep.
You are the most codependent man in independent relationships or in intimate relationships that I have ever met in my 25 years as a counselor.
Wonderful. You're going, what?
And I thought, I know. And Michelle, it was kind of funny because I thought, damn it all. I'm just facing the fact that I have to get sober from alcohol and cocaine.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, this woman saying, you have an addiction here.
Yeah.
And she was right. And so the form of codependency addiction I had was to find women that needed to be saved.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yep. And that gives you a project and it makes us feel better about ourselves too.
Momentarily, you know, and when I mentioned this to Jenny McCarthy, she looked at me and said, oh my God, I'm just like you.
Right. Been there, done that.
And she said, and I said, look, this is for all your listeners, Michelle, this is what we say. Yeah. If you're dating someone for their potential to change, you're screwed and you're a codependent.
Oh yeah. That's right. That's huge. Say that one more time. Okay, folks, listen. Okay.
You're dating people who have great potential to change, you're screwed and you're a codependent.
Oh, man.
So if you're dating someone who's smoking and you know that they can quit smoking with your help, if you're dating someone who's an alcoholic that says, I'm going to get help and finally nail this, if you're dating someone who has struggled with their money for 20 years and you're going to go in and show them because you know a little bit about budgeting and everything, you're not falling in love, you're falling in codependency.
Oof, that's heavy. You know, and it's hard to grasp that if you're, you know, deep into that, because I mean, I think to some extent we all have a little bit of that, you know, we all need a little bit of love and a little bit of recognition and except for a lot of narcissistic folks, but I mean, that's a big one too, but I think, you know, there's something you're right about giving and caring and needing to fix somebody, you know.
Yeah. And then we have the flip side of, and I'm going to be very stereotypical here so women don't get upset, but the woman that's looking for a guy to take care of them financially because she's got two kids and she's struggled her whole life and she deserves a break and she has friends that have been married to or dating guys with some money and she deserves the same thing. That's all codependency.
Sure. Wow.
You know,
there's a really good part in your book, by the way, on that. So, folks,
I'm sorry.
I just was sharing that there's a really good part about codependency in your book, where you candidly talk about yourself as well and how to sort of get over it.
Oh my God! Can I tell my story about my codependence?
I really wanted you to. Yes.
Yeah. So you know what? I really appreciate you, Michelle. One of the things that is great about me sharing stories in the book about others and myself is that for myself, you know, as a counselor, you know this, as a counselor and a number one best-selling author and all the other stuff I do, people have a tendency to put us on a pedestal, which they should not.
Right.
And when I talk about my failures, I want people to know I'm as real and human as you are. Mm. I had huge issues in my life. And so, you know, my codependent nature that I shattered in 1997 snuck back into my life when I met this woman, a gorgeous woman, and she came in and she surprised me on a regular basis by dropping off my favorite cake at the office, or she actually even dropped off clothes, like new jeans that she thought I'd look great in.
Wow.
And, you know, so she was doing what's called love bombing to get my attention. She was doing all these things to hook me in, and she did a great job. She was a master at it, and I did.
Yep.
You know, I went for it.
Who wouldn't?
And I didn't know she was in such financial struggle.
Right.
Until I had fallen deeply in love, and at about the 3-month mark, she comes to me and she's just a nervous wreck and she's going to get kicked out of her house because she's 2 months behind in rent.
Yikes.
So David Essel, who had shattered codependency in 1997, that little sucker came out of the closet and said, Angel, do not worry. Tell me who to write the check to. And, you know, and so then, and then after I wrote the check and she was fine, and then I said, you know what, instead of you worrying about money, just come on in and move in with me.
Oh dear.
So I was going full blown back into my old pattern.
Yes.
Then in the book, I talk about that she started asking to borrow money. So I loaned her money and I had written contracts that she would pay it back, and she was very certain she was going to pay it back. And she started paying me a little bit every Friday, not much. And it ended up being over $25,000. And one day she texted me and said, hey, I just got off the phone with my mom and several girlfriends and I don't owe you any more money.
Yep. Oh,
and I said,
really?
What the hell are you talking about? Right, I have an agreement with you. You owe me 25 grand.
Right.
And she said, no. She goes, we decided that that's what boyfriends are here for.
Oh, isn't that special? Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's terrible. So, I'm so sorry.
Isn't that terrible?
And
so that night, she was kicked out of my house.
Yep.
And I had a hard time forgiving her.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so finally, a couple years had gone by, and I knew that when people mentioned her name, that you'd get agitated. I would never say anything bad about her, but internally, my stomach would go sour. I'd be pissed off.
Uh-huh.
So I said, Michelle, you know what I have to do is I have to take the same techniques I teach others on how to forgive people who have betrayed them, and I have to do it myself, and I did. And it took about 6 months or more of intense daily writing for me to reach a place of pure forgiveness.
Yes.
And when you reach that place of pure forgiveness, how you know you're there is that if you were to see the person, you don't have to be friends with them, but if you were to see the person, you would just say hi. There's no agitation. There's no resentment.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our books, we talk about the same method of forgiveness that I talk about in the book, Focus, Slay Your Goals. In our other book, I use that same methodology. It's a four-step system.
Yes.
Yeah. With a woman who was raped, brutally raped, and left for dead.
My gosh.
And she was incapacitated for 8 years. She was agoraphobic, couldn't leave her house, heavily medicated.
Right.
And in 1 year of working with her, through the power of focus, and using the steps of forgiveness, she got off of all medication. She started traveling the country, and just a few months ago, she texted me and said, David, you're not going to believe it. I kissed a man.
Wow. That's really something. That's wonderful.
So
yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah. And what it took for her to forgive a man who brutally raped her and left her for dead.
Yes.
It was incredible focus. And there's like no other answer. Michelle, it's the reason we wrote the book.
Yeah.
I want people to have the tools through the book that if they want to change their weight, their money, their forgiveness, their love life, I want them to have the tools to do it. And that's why the book went number one.
Oh, that's great. And by the way, in case you just tuned in, guys, my special guest today is David Essel. In case you haven't been listening to the whole show, you can, of course, listen in the archives. They'll be up on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio and also in iTunes on the podcasts on the couch. But his book's called Focus, and it's The Proven Guide to Huge Success, A Powerful Attitude and Profound Love. And that's what we're talking about today. You really should check it out, guys. And I'll give you more information on my archives, in my archives, on how to get a hold of the book and find out more about David and his work. And check out his other books, too. My gosh, they're really good. The Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, the Rockstar books, the Slowdown book, Heaven on Earth, Angel on a Surfboard, and all these other books, on and on. And they're wonderfully inspirational as well. And I, you know, something that I really wanted to also ask you before we have to wrap up here, which I really was fascinated with, is, you know, we talked about forgiving others. How can we create some profound love within our lives, for ourselves and for others? And I know a lot of that is the forgiveness you were talking about.
Yeah. So So I think if when people think of profound love, we immediately think first that it must be with a quote unquote soulmate.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's a lot of lies out there about soulmates. You know, you meet a soulmate, you'll never argue. They'll read your mind. You'll have the same things in common. And
right.
That's so unrealistic. And if you do meet someone that fills all those voids, then that's a miracle.
Yeah.
So we hold space for miracles.
Yeah.
Right. But but it's pretty unrealistic. So we say profound love starts with us.
Yeah.
And it starts with self-care. If you say, you know, like, remember that old skit on Saturday Night Live where the guy would stand as Stuart somebody?
Right.
And he would stand in the mirror and say, "I love you so much," or whatever he said, right?
Right.
So we up until 1996, we used to teach this course called Divine Love, where I had the class. We used to hand out little mirrors, pocket mirrors.
Yes,
and
right.
They stare at the mirror and say how much they love themselves, you know, and oh my God, I'm embarrassed to admit that I used to do this crap, but I did.
I remember doing groups.
Isn't that true, Michelle? It's goodness,
dear.
We were neophytes. I was a neophyte.
No, I know.
You know, trying to
me too,
do this stuff. But the number one sign of self-love is self-care.
Yes. Yes.
So if you exercise 4 days a week, which only 15% of the population does, you are moving towards profound self-love. If you remove all addictions to food, alcohol, nicotine, drugs, sex, gambling, Amazon, emotional spending, television watching, like until you remove all those addictions and dependencies, you're not even near self-love.
Yes.
When we look at profound self-love as letting go of the negative gossipers in our life, the conspiracy theorists, the argumentative people, you know, like, and when I say letting go, you know, you may have someone that's been in your life a long time that you go, God, David, I can't just cut them out.
Right.
But
yeah.
if they have these characteristics that bring you down when you're with them, you don't feel enough. You feel insecure. When you're with them, they have to lead the show and they know everything. When you're with them, they tell jokes that are not kosher at all,
right.
And you laugh with them.
Right, right.
You know,
exactly.
That's examples of a lack of profound love.
Yes, yes.
And so we say, if you're not going to remove them from your existence, you've got to cut back on the amount of time you spend with people, or you're not in an environment of profound self-love. So, you know, for your listeners, if they just look at what am I doing physically? Am I doing enough?
Right.
What am I putting in my body?
Right,
the temple?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What am I putting?
Right?
Yes.
What am I listening to, watching? You know, unfortunately, our country has been, you know, taken over by all this negativity in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the media is at fault. I'm just saying that, you know, everyone's looking for sensationalism. They're either loving Trump, hating Trump, but it's all about divisiveness. And if you're in a position of damnation, that's not self-love.
No,
If you're in a position of incredible judgment that the Democrats are all at fault, the Republicans are all at fault,
right.
That's not profound self-love.
Right, right. Exactly.
So the very first step to profound love is going to be profound self-love. And, you know, we have a checklist in the book. It's very similar to what I've just shared on the show.
Right, right.
That if people want to be honest, you can look at it and go, wow, I am not loving myself physically.
Yep.
My mind is filled with all kinds of crap information. That's not self-love.
Yep.
I have a partner who emotionally or physically abuses me or neglects me or puts me down. That's not self-love.
Right, right. So that's what I love, the checks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the profound love chapter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really
starts with self-love, and then we go on to talk about the 10 stages of love, from unhealthy love.
That's
right.
Exactly. And this is all, we don't want to do any more spoiler alerts here, because I want the folks to get your book. You know what I'm saying? And it's just about that time that we wrap things up. But David, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your book with us and, you know, for just bringing these wonderful ideas that you have out about really helping people realistically. And these are steps that he's learned throughout his many years of being an enlightened person and on his journey. And now he can share a lot of these concepts with you to help you out in your life. So how can folks find out more about you David Essel, and also get all of your books, especially Focus.
Oh, this is great, Michelle. Thank you. So when they go to talkdavid.com, TALKDavid.com, the very first thing I'm going to tell you, we have something very exciting. We have a $6,000 counseling and life coaching personal growth giveaway sweepstakes.
Wow.
It costs nothing. We're gonna select 600 winners, Michelle.
Oh, that's amazing.
Get one-on-one sessions with me. They'll get our most popular online course called Focus for free. Mm. I mean, so if they go to talkdavid.com, they've got to sign up for the free sweepstakes.
Perfect.
So that's number one. Number two is, as you've been gracious in talking about our brand new number one bestseller, Focus, Slay Your Goals, you can go ahead and look at all the information on that book plus all of our other books. We also have a link on our site on YouTube. We have a channel with about 1,300 free videos on personal growth.
Yes, you do.
So
great.
If they go to the website, talkdavid.com, they can go right to the channel. And I mean, from now for the next 300 days, you could watch three or four videos a day.
You could be inspired for the whole year. And, you know.
That's right. For free. It's all free. So that's cool.
Amazing. Well, David, thanks a million for being on the show. I mean, you're so inspirational, such a great guest. And you know, I just appreciate you so much. And thanks for taking the time.
Oh, yeah, I've had a blast, Michelle. If there's something in the future we can help you and your listeners with, we would love to. You have been so gracious. Oh. I appreciate your interview style and skills.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much, David. And definitely, we'll be in touch. we'll be talking again here live on the air.
Good. I love
it. All right. Bless you. Take good care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, once again, the show will be up in the archives the moment we get off the air here. But I'll have all the information up for you tomorrow so you can find out how to get David's books and also how to get in touch with him and, you know, get all the help you need. That's the way it goes. Do take care of yourself first, everybody. Then you'll be great for everyone. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen on the couch. I'll be back next Friday with more inspirational information to help you and your life. Make it a lot better. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Flashing rays are coming light.